The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Good evening and happy Friday. I'm Molly Dishner, and this is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report for June 17th. You can catch this program nightly between 6:30 and 7, re-aired at 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. Tomorrow's show will be early for the weekend, 1:30 p.m. Naknek, Quijack, Igigik, and Ugashik districts all closed this weekend. Most sections of Togiak closed tonight. One closes tomorrow morning. Tonight, Westside Management Biologist Tim Sands will walk us through the plan for the Wood River Special Harvest Area this year.
It's even more complicated than it had been before. Basically, the new change allows the department to open the district and the Wood River kind of at the same time.
Researcher Curry Cunningham tells us FRI's research and forecasting efforts.
Our forecast for this year is right around 50 million sockeye for Bristol Bay. The majority of those headed for the Naknek-Quijack District, as well as substantial proportions to both Igigik and Nooshigak.
Those stories after a look at some numbers. The Nooshigak sonar counted 561 kings yesterday, season total 19,354. 7,431 sockeye counted, 25,000 so far this season. The Wood River Tower counted 6,738 sockeye yesterday, bringing the season total to 13,503. Igigik escapement yesterday, 18,822 fish, season total 29,424. Yesterday's catch, 23,000, season total 44,963. Naknek, Quijack, 1,500 fish caught yesterday, season total 2,500. Escapement for the Naknek River was 942 yesterday, season total 1,200. First day of the Quijack counts yesterday, 258. Yesterday's Ugashik catch, 1,200 fish, season total 3,900. Nooshigak District, all the catch is coming from the Igushik section so far, 11,000 fish total caught there. Yesterday's Togiak catch, 180 fish, season total 234. And your Bristol Bay-wide total, 25,800 fish caught yesterday, season total of about 63,000. At the Chignik River Weir, 7,476 sockeye counted yesterday, season total 131,000. Yesterday's Chignik harvest, 31,285, season total 211,000. Area M catch yesterday, 64,000 reds for a total of 612,000, 101,000 pinks for a total of 589,000. All fish caught there so far this summer, 1.3 million. Most of the catch still coming from Unimak and Shumagin Islands. Reminder, you can keep in touch with us by email, fish@kdlg.org, or any of our first names, Dave, Molly, Hannah, Shaylin @kdlg.org, or give us a call, 842-5281. Back in a moment.
Support comes from Crowley. Fueling Alaska for more than 60 years, Crowley supports local fisheries onshore and off with a full range of commercial marine fuel products and Bristol Bay floater fueling services. More information at crowleyfuels.com.
The past couple of days, we've heard from fisheries managers about the season to come. Before we get to them tonight, here's what some of you have been telling us. Charles Post is set netting in Igushik and called just before pulling in his net this afternoon for a quick update.
Seems a little early this year than last year. First start was at least a brailer per tide for one tide. And somewhere average of 100-something fish per tide. Pretty steady. It's doing okay, I guess.
Post says Igushik Beach is about half full. He came in June 10th from his home near Nelson Island and started fishing June 14th. So far, he's seen a mix of fish sizes, from small to large. Over in Naknek, drifter Chester Wilson on the fishing vessel Sea Dust told us about the fish he saw on his shakedown day.
Fish were on the small side, a lot of Jack King mixed in with it. But we didn't get very many, less than 20. I was only out there for three sets and just basically trying everything out, making sure everything worked.
Wilson said he'll be back out there next week. If you'd like to share what you're seeing on the grounds, please call us 842-5281 or send an email. Back to our conversations with managers. Yesterday, we talked to Westside biologist Tim Sands about the Nooshigak District, but we didn't have time to get into the Wood River Special Harvest Area. Tonight, Sands delves into that.
Well, the Wood River plan was changed, and it's even more complicated than it had been before. Basically, the new change allows the department to open the district and the Wood River kind of at the same time. And the scenario where that would happen would be if we're starting to fall behind on Nooshigak sockeye escapement. And starting to fall behind means the daily expected escapement was, say, 15,000 sockeye, and we only got 10. So our cumulative total is still ahead of the 370,000 minimum curve, but our daily amount was less than we expected, and so we lost ground. That's the scenario where we're falling behind, and in that case, if we're fishing in the district, we would restrict the district mesh size to 4 3/4 inch gear, but we would open up the Wood River Special Harvest Area to 3 drift openings and 1 set net opening. Because, again, in 2012, the Board of Fish changed the Wood River Special Harvest Area plan so that there was no longer concurrent gear openings in the Wood River Special Harvest Area. That's the new scenario where we could open the Wood River.
And what's the earliest that could even come into play? Not until July, is that correct?
No, there's no earliest. Well, ideally, we'd avoid it altogether. I don't even know what the earliest is. Probably after we've started fishing for a few days. Basically, the way the management plan is written, we have to fish to control escapement in the Wood River. So the Wood River is going to drive pretty much all of our management decisions, in that whatever, if we're getting huge escapement in the Wood River, we have to fish to control that, and we'll do whatever we can to control that. And if that hammers kings or that hammers Nooshigak sockeye, then at some point we would force ourselves into the Wood River, or the intermediate option of restricting gear in the district and fishing in the Wood River. But it all depends on what the Wood River does. And the thing about the Wood River is there's 7 million fish coming back to the Wood River and 1.7 million fish coming back to the Nooshigak River. So to get our escapement goals in both places and catch all the extra fish, we have to catch about 6 Wood River fish for every Nooshigak fish. The problem with that is the Wood River fish, 5 million of those are 2 ocean fish, so they're going to be smaller and they're less catchable than Nooshigak fish. Can we do it? Yeah, we've done it before. We've been able to control the escapement fairly well in the wood, still get enough Nooshigak sockeye upriver, still get enough Nooshigak kings upriver, and not too much foregone harvest up the Wood River. But every year is different, and we just have to do our best on a day-by-day basis, tide-by-tide, to kind of read the tea leaves and make the right decision.
That was Westside Management Biologist Tim Sands talking Wood River Special Harvest Area. Find our conversations with Travis Ellison, Lisa Fox, Paul Solomon, and the rest on our website, kdlg.org. We'll talk Togiak District tomorrow. No one has a crystal ball to say just how many salmon are going to show up in Bristol Bay this summer. But Fish and Game and others do their best to collect as much information as possible and use that to gauge the run as it progresses. Continuing our series of conversations about the fishery, today I asked a researcher to tell us a little about the University of Washington's Fisheries Research Institute. Curry Cunningham has done stints as a commercial fisherman and a UW grad student. He's currently a researcher at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, but right now he's back at FRI's Lake Alecknagik camp, helping with the in-season forecasting there. Hi, Curry. Thanks for talking to me today.
Hi. Good to hear from you, Molly.
So what is FRI and what are you doing up at Lake Alaknegik?
The Fisheries Research Institute at the University of Washington is an organization that has been around since the late 1940s doing research on salmon and other species in southwest Alaska.
And on a day-to-day basis, what are you working on this summer?
At this point in the season, I myself are mostly focused on the in-season forecast for Bristol Bay sockeye.
What information goes into looking at the in-season forecast, and what information do you put out for fishermen and the public to review?
Well, our in-season forecast is primarily focused on three pieces of information. The first is the pre-season forecast, which we put out in the fall, which has predictions for the major Bristol Bay River systems by age class in terms of the number of sockeye we expect to come back. As the season progresses, we also incorporate information from the Port Muller test fishery, as well as predictions based on what we've seen arrive inshore in terms of catch and escapement.
So what is your forecast for this year, and how or why is that a little different than Fish and Games?
Our forecast for this year is right around 50 million sockeye for Bristol Bay, the majority of those headed for the Naknek-Quijack District, as well as substantial proportions to both Igigik and Nooshigak. You know, when it comes to the preseason forecast, we're all looking at the same sources of information. We base our system and age class specific forecasts on the number of individuals from the same brood year or that were born in the same year that have returned in previous years, as well as some marine environmental conditions. In reality, the differences between our forecast and Fish and Games are primarily based on the statistical techniques we use to arrive at these numbers.
All right. Well, we'll be excited to see how many fish do show up in the next month or so.
As will I.
And do you know when you'll have kind of your first in-season look at things?
Well, for now, what we do have is a website that's available through the University of Washington Alaska Salmon Program page, which has daily updates on how the season is progressing relative to our preseason forecast and some useful comparisons to previous years in Bristol Bay. So this is basically the information that we're looking at on our end to try to make these predictions about how we think the run is going.
Sounds good. Switching gears a little bit, last year
Sure.
you did that management strategy evaluation. Can you tell me about that?
The management strategy evaluation we conducted for Bristol Bay was focused on evaluating the potential impacts of changing escapement goals for the river systems. This was a collaborative effort between myself at the University of Washington, Ray Hilborn, two economists at the University of Washington, as well as BBSRI and BBRSDA. The purpose was to take a broader look at escapement goals, and specifically to try to incorporate uncertainty in future production for these river systems, as well as uncertainty in the implementation of these escapement targets.
And what did you find with that?
So what we found when we evaluated several alternative management strategies is that having a two-tiered escapement goal system was preferable, specifically that when your expectation of run size is above a certain threshold, you shoot for a higher escapement target. And when your expectation for run size is below a threshold, you shoot for a lower escapement target. This has the benefit that in years of low salmon returns, you actually have a lower escapement target, and therefore fishermen are going to get more fishing time, spend less time sitting on the beach. But in years of high salmon return, we can shoot for a higher escapement target, which is closer to what we consider the biological optimum. That is the number of spawning salmon that is going to produce more returns and higher catch in the future.
As far as actually implementing that goes, did you look at all at how that might work out for managers?
The way we went about that is to look at the uncertainty or the accuracy of the preseason forecasting process. And within these simulations, we accounted for that. And then we had a very simple in-season assessment that took place right around the 4th of July. And that was used to either upgrade or downgrade the escapement target. That's the very simple scenario we tested. The way managers are actually going to go about that moving forward is somewhat up to them because they have different information available to them from, say, the Port Muller test fishery or flying the river system. They have more information than we included in our analyses.
Okay, that makes sense. Day-to-day stuff is pretty interesting to us and to fishermen, but you also have some other pretty cool projects going on. Can you tell me about some of the ones that you find interesting?
Certainly. After the fishing season winds down, I myself go over to our Lake Iliamna field site and begin working on a wide variety of projects. We do long-term monitoring on lake conditions. We also have some projects looking at the size and age composition of sockeye. We have some interesting projects looking at bear predation, what parts of fish bears consume, how many they consume, and how that changes across the season. We also had an interesting project the last couple years using small drones to evaluate bias in our estimates, in our historical estimates of sockeye abundance in some of these small stream and pond systems.
Thanks so much for your time today, Curry.
All right. Take care, Molly.
You too. Bye.
That was Curry Cunningham at the University of Washington's Fisheries Research Institute. This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. Back in a moment.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible in part by Naknek Family Fisheries, 246-FISH, or on the web at naknekfish.com.
That's just about it for tonight's show. The marine weather forecast for Bristol Bay: tonight, southwest wind 15 knots, seas at 3 feet, patchy fog. Tomorrow, a small craft advisory and southeast wind 25 knots, seas 4 feet, patchy fog. From Port Hyden to Cape Sarachef, tonight, variable wind 10 knots, seas at 3 feet and some patchy fog. Tomorrow, a small craft advisory in effect, southeast wind 25 knots, seas at 5 feet and rain. In other fish news, the Copper River King Run is slow so far, and right now the projection is that the river might not meet its escapement goal. As a result, Fish and Game is limiting retention of kings for both sport and personal use fishermen. Finding Dory, the sequel to Finding Nemo, is out. That's caused a flurry of press releases about the perils of the tropical pet fish industry. Apparently, it takes cyanide to catch blue tangs. So buyers beware. If seeing the movie makes you want a colorful pet fish, there might be some cyanide going into the ocean to make that happen. Popular Science says that 130 fish species are at least partly amphibious, meaning they can survive on land, most for just a few seconds or minutes, but some for a couple hours or even days. In sports news, just in case you didn't hear, the Cavaliers lost to the Warriors last night, 115-101. That means there's a Game 7 tomorrow afternoon. So far today in the baseball world, Cubs beat Pirates 6-0. News out today, Russia's track and field team is barred from competing in the Rio Olympics this summer because of widespread doping. That team won 18 medals for track and field in the last Summer Olympics. Catch our replays at 10 and 2 a.m. and find our shows archived online. I'm Molly Dishner with help from the rest of our team. Keep in touch. We'll see you back here tomorrow with an early weekend broadcast at 1:30 p.m.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report was made possible in part by the Bristol Bay Fisheries Association, advocating for fishermen. More information at bristolbayfishermen.org.